Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to call to order the meeting of the Transportation Conference Committee for today. Before we get started, I'm going to just kind of give you the framework for what we're going to try to accomplish today. What we will be doing is adopting a DE. It's an amendment to our work, replaces what we've done so far, but we will not be adopting a conference committee report. In other words, the conference committee will stay open. The idea is that we get this language and these provisions and these spreadsheets out to the public and out to the other members of our two bodies, and especially out to the members of the administration, so that they can look these items over and hopefully engage us in further negotiations as we make our way toward the end of session. And hopefully, if those negotiations are successful, we can at some later date wrap up this conference committee report and send it to the floor. In light of that, tonight we will not be taking amendments except for one. The Senate has one amendment that will be taking in relation to the bonding section of the bill. Otherwise, there will be no other amendments. But remember, the bill is open, or the conference committee process is open. It's not closed, or will not be closed tonight. We will step through first the spreadsheet and then the language of the bill. We'll take that amendment at the appropriate time, but I'd be happy to take member questions. So I think it's best that we take those as we work our way through the bill, rather than backtracking when it's just not necessary. So members of the committee, if you have questions about a provision as we're stepping through the bill, please get my attention, and we will take those questions as we work through the bill. And at the end, we'll have a time for questions then, too. So if you miss the opportunity as we're stepping through the bill, please make note of your questions, and we'll take those at the end of the presentation of the DE. Any questions about tonight's process? Seeing none, we'll start with the spreadsheet, and the staff from our two bodies are going to hand off the baton when they think it's appropriate. I'm not sure who's starting, but Mr. Lee and Ms. Boyd will handle the spreadsheet.
Mr. Chair and members, if you turn to the spreadsheet, just to get your bearings here, on the far left-hand side is the governor's updated requests. In the House, the Senate, you'll notice that these are compressed, so that you're seeing the biennial totals for the 18-19 biennium and the 2021 biennium. And then the conference position for the DE amendment is on the far right-hand side. So starting with aeronautics, on lines 10, 11, 12, and 13, there's the $2.5 million increase out of the airport development assistance appropriation, the Rochester Airport Terminal, Duluth Airport, and St. Cloud Airport Planning Study. Moving down, there is the reordering of the appropriation for aviation support services aviation support and services, taking $80,000 a year out of that appropriation and into a new appropriation on line 35. And then, in addition, there's a rider in that appropriation for one time in 2018 for the Civil Air Patrol, and this is all out of the Aeronautics Fund. And moving on line for transit under MnDOT, on line 45 is a one-time $17 million reduction in the general fund base appropriation for fiscal 18. And then on line 47, this is showing a statutory realignment in taking a recommended governor's change item related to the motor vehicle lease sales tax and the allocation to the general fund relating to the legacy amendment. This is just showing as a statutory change. It doesn't affect the totals, but it is in recognizing that shift in net, it comes out to zero, because essentially that's money out of the proceeds from the motor vehicle lease sales tax and money into the general fund. Then on the next line, this is also showing a statutory change. In later in the policy section, there is a change to the allocation of the motor vehicle lease sales tax. Currently, the motor vehicle lease sales tax is allocated the first 32 million to the general fund, and then any amount over that is split 50-50 between Greater Minnesota Transit and five metropolitan counties. The language that we'll get to in the policy article would split on a percentage basis the five metropolitan counties and Greater Minnesota Transit at 38% each, and then other percentages to other areas. So this is just showing that statutory change. So in effect, the five metropolitan counties and Greater Minnesota Transit receives a bit of an increase. And again, these are statutory, so they don't add to the totals in this appropriation. Then on line 50 is a one-time appropriation, $150,000 a year for the biennium for travel management organizations. And then on line 63, this is a one-time increase for infrastructure grants in the Safe Routes to School program, $1 million. The passenger rail office is eliminated on line, in MnDOT in line 72. Then on line 82 is the a increase for rail safety activities and an interagency rail director and MnDOT at $150,000 a year, and that is ongoing in the base. Then a one-time cancellation and reappropriation for Red Wing and Winona, for the port development program. There's two other appropriations out of the Mercy special account in the Special Revenue Fund. One is for a study in Grand Rapids, and another is for one-time track repair and rehabilitation of $1.5 million. The next change item is down on line 111, and this is a one-time appropriation of $5 million a year for the biennium for hazardous materials rail safety. And this is out of the general fund. Moving on to state roads, on line 147 is a base increase for operations and maintenance. Then there is a split out. This is taking essentially the House position, splitting out program planning and delivery to two different appropriations, one for planning and research and one for program delivery. So the planning and research is first, and that's on line 160. And then on line 161 is the increase as a result of HUTD increases and trunk highway increases. And then on line 162 is the highway construction cost study, inflation study. Moving on to program delivery, on line 171 is the base increase. And then you can see that the amount associated with planning and research is essentially chunked out of that appropriation. So that's the negative on line 173 is the same as the positive on line 160 above it. Then there's a appropriation for Red Wing reimbursement for U.S. Highway 61 and appropriation increase related to project selection policy development report. Moving on to state road construction, there are this is an increase with two components. The first is the FAST Act, federal highway appropriation, and then on line 183 is the base appropriation. And then moving on, this is on line 193. This is taking a House position on establishing a direct appropriation that is ongoing in the tails for Corridors of Commerce at $25 million a year. And then on line 200 is a debt service increase for approximately $600 million trunk highway bond authorization authorized over fiscal 18 and fiscal 19. Moving on to local roads, on line 216 is the other piece of that motor vehicle lease sales tax realignment. So again, this is essentially a net zero. This is money out of that fund but into the general fund, and this is and then also the looking for the base increase for CASA, the County State Aid Highway, is on line 218. And this is part of the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund formula. Then on line 218 is the increase associated with the five metropolitan counties. So that was that other piece of that percentage change of the motor vehicle lease sales tax formula. Then on line 221 is a one-time appropriation of $5 million a year to seven metropolitan counties for for road aid. And there's some more language in the policy article on this, but this is available to all seven counties, with Hennepin and Ramsey counties being by population, with the population of Hennepin and Ramsey counties for the purposes of this calculation being reduced by 75%. And then on line 231 is the HUTD increase for municipal state aid streets. On line 258 is a one-time appropriation for small cities assistance for the biennium out of the general fund at $10 million a year. And on line 269, and again, this is a statutory appropriation, so it isn't shown in the totals, but this shows another percentage allocation from the motor vehicle lease sales tax for local bridge replacement and rehabilitation. And there is no change in agency management and no change items for tribal training. Moving on to line 298, this is taking the House position on increases from the Trunk Highway Fund for buildings at $8.5 million a year, ongoing. Moving on to the Metropolitan Council, the base is on line 320, and there is an increase in the DE amendment on line 327 of $15 million a year, one time. Then on line 328 is $210,000 for the guideway status report costs, and there was change in the language to make that a biannual report. So this is only reflecting 1 year of the fiscal note cost. Then on line 329 is $1 million for the suburban transit demonstration projects, and this is all out of the general fund. Moving on to the Department of Public Safety, in general, these items are the same as the House position. Just note very briefly on line 344, 345 are operational support increases in both the general fund and the trunk highway fund for admin-related services. There's a number of these on the following page. You can see the increases on line 335, 336, and then the split out of some benefit or some riders that have traditionally been riders within this appropriation, but the conference or the DE amendment is taking the House position on breaking these out as separate appropriations. So you can see the first of which is on line 369 for public safety officer survivor benefits. And then on line 376 for public safety officer reimbursements. And then on line 383 and 384 for soft body armor reimbursements. And these are, this appropriation has a component that is both general fund and one that is trunk highway fund. And there's operational support increases for technology support and services for, on line 392 and 393. And then under State Patrol, there is the ongoing operational increase on line 410. a one-time appropriation out of the general fund for a new helicopter on line 411. That's the $5.75 million. And then increases to the base related to State Trooper Academy pay increases. And there's operational support increases for commercial vehicle enforcement on line 423, for capital security on line 430, and this is out of the general fund. And then for vehicle crimes unit on line 437. Moving on to driver and vehicle services, there's the operational increase. That's the same as the house position on line 450 for vehicle services. And then operational support on increase for driver services on line 460. And then an automated test system maintenance on line 459. Moving on to the next page, this is taking the House position on funding MNLARS. So this is spending out of the driver and vehicle services account balances on line 468 and 469. Then for traffic safety, these are operational increases on line 480 and min crash system maintenance out of the general fund. And this is a house position on line 482. And then an operational increase on line 491. And that is the appropriations article. Ms. Boyd would go through the revenue items.
Mr. Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Ms. Boyd, I was just trying to get myself to the right page. Thank you, Mr. Lee. You're going to do the revenue, Ms. Boyd?
Thank you. Chair. Mr. Chair, we're on page 10 of the spreadsheet, and I'll take over in the revenue section. In the conference position section, the first changes are on line 527 and 528. These reflect the reduction in revenue to the general fund and the increase in revenue to the highway user tax distribution fund related to sales tax on auto parts. This is a partial shift of the auto parts sales tax revenues, totaling $164 million in the first biennium. The next is on line 530 and 531. Again, a shift from the general fund to the highway user tax fund related to the revenue from the sales tax on rental cars. And this is 100% dedication of that projected revenue, and that's $36.9 million for the biennium. Next is line 533 and 534. This is 100% dedication of the projected revenue related to the 9.2% rental car tax. Again, a shift from general fund to highway user tax, and that's $52.3 million in the biennium. The next lines, let's see, they start on line 536 and go through the next several lines. This is related to a shift of allocations from the motor vehicle leasing sales tax revenues. On line 536, you'll see a reduction of revenue to the general fund of $32 million. That represents the $32 million set aside in current law from leasing that stays in the general fund. And then that increase is picked up in the highway user tax on the next line, totaling $21.3 million. The State Transportation Fund, which is for the local bridge program, of $25.2 million for the biennium. And then Greater Minnesota Transit and the five metro counties that currently receive allocations for motor vehicle leasing sales tax will see a slight increase above their projected allocations currently, and that's at $3.2 million each for the biennium. The next lines are on 543 to 545, and this represents the House position, which was a governor's recommendation on motor vehicle lease revenue realignment. This is just a correction to the amounts that are transferred out of the general fund related to the transportation funds. So the general fund will see an increase in revenue of 11.1 relative to forecast, and the CASA and transit assistance funds will see a half of that each in a decrease, 5.6. roughly for the biennium each. The next is on line 549. This is related to the electric vehicle surcharge that was in the House bill. This is a slight increase in revenue to the highway user tax fund of $40,000 for the biennium. And the next lines of change items are in 553 to 555, and these are just collecting up the when the general fund sales taxes are deposited in the highway user tax fund. This shows the amounts that flow on the constitutional formula. So 552 is the transfer out again of those revenues, and the next three lines are the receipt of the revenues, trunk highway CASA and municipal state aid. The next line is on 556, and these represent the revenues from the federal highway funds that were appropriated earlier in the spreadsheet, and that totals $361.3 million for the biennium. Next is on line 564. This is the carry forward of the port development assistance grants. $1.1 million of grants that were made in the last biennium are carried forward, or canceled in 2017 and carried forward and appropriated again in 2018. The next is revenue related to new overweight truck permits for road construction materials. The fund is the CASA fund, and they go into the town bridge account, and that's $980,000 estimated for the biennium. And then the next two lines, 566 and 567, is showing the $3.5 million one-time transfer, the transfer out of the general fund and a one-time transfer into the Minnesota Rail Safety Improvement Account in the Special Revenue Fund. On line 568, you'll see a rail safety improvement grant conversion totaling approximately $4.1 million, and that's one time in fiscal year 18. And then the next lines are down on 576 and 577. This is an elimination of a small piece of the two-wheeled vehicle endorsement fee on licenses that currently goes into the general fund and is shifting to the motorcycle safety fund, and that totals $34,000 for the biennium. And 578 is a mandated contribution if you want to start seeing motorcycle special plate, which is created in the bill. There's an annual contribution that goes along with that, and that is anticipated to bring in $12,000 in revenue for the biennium. And, Mr. Chair, I believe that's it for the revenues, and then I'll just direct your attention to line 623 on page 11 shows the meeting of the target in the biennium, or in the 18-19 biennium, $372 million impact on the general fund. And then in the tails in 2021, $566.512 million. Those were the targets given to the conference committee. And one more thing I'll point out on lines 632 through 635, under the footnotes, just a breakout of the new revenue that goes into the highway user tax distribution fund. This is the allocation of the 5% set aside that goes to flexible highway account, town roads, and town bridges. Those percentages stay the same as current law in the bill, and these are just new revenues related to the new highway user tax revenues.
Excellent. Thank you. At this time, we will shift over to the bill language. Looks like Mr. Burris is going to get us started.
Mr. Chair and members, I'll begin the walkthrough through the language of the delete all amendment. This is coded A17-0410. It is written as a delete also. It would incorporate or modify or exclude some of the previous work of the committee, as the chair had mentioned earlier. Article 1 contains the appropriations. I'll actually start on page 21. The first couple of sections are what was covered through the spreadsheet walkthrough. Page 21 is also in Article 1 and is some of the language provisions also connected to appropriations. So Section 5 is the language of the transfer from the general fund into the rail service improvement account. So this is Mercy related. And then Section 6 is the carry forward for the port development assistance. And then Section 7 establishes a couple of requirements on state agency budget submissions in the future on using budget structure and information provided as part of the budget submissions. And then on page 22, Article 2 contains trunk highway bonding, and the beginning of that is boilerplate Section 1, setting up summary information on the bonding. Section 2 contains the appropriations related to the bonds that would be authorized. The first of those is quarters of commerce. As the delete all is written, that would be $250 million for the quarters of commerce program, followed by $350 million for state road construction generally in the next subdivision. And that, Mr. Chair, is where there is an amendment.
Thank you. At this time, we will take up the amendment. Senator Newman, would you care to introduce the amendment?
I would. Thank you, Mr. Chair. The amendment that I'm looking at is also identified as A-17, but the full is it's SCH-0861-A-17. I would offer that amendment at this time, Mr. Chairman. The effect of the amendment is to move an equal amount of money from trunk highway bonding into quarters of commerce and state road construction of $300 million.
Thank you, Senator Newman. Staff, it's pretty straightforward, but you just want to make sure we've identified the right lines and the right amounts.
Yes, Mr. Chair, so the increase to quarters of commerce would be from $250 million to $300 million. That's on page 22.30. And there's a corresponding decrease in the appropriation for state road construction generally from $350 million to $300 million. That's on line 20, page 23, line 5. And then there's a corresponding change in the language establishing that the state road construction appropriation would be for fiscal year 19. So the total bonding appropriation and authorization would stay the same at $600 million plus change for expense, bond sale expenses.
Thank you, Mr. Burris. Any questions regarding the amendment? If not, I'll renew Senator Newman's motion that the A-17 amendment be added to the DE. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment is adopted. Please continue, Mr. Burris.
With that, Mr. Chair and members, there's a bond cancellation provision on the timing of cancellation on page 23, an appropriation for the expenses for bond sales in section 3, and then section 4 contains the authorization and corresponding authority to sell the bonds. Finally, section 5 is the effective date for that article. That, Mr. Chair, members, brings us to article 3, which is the policy and finance provisions, and we'll start through those sections. Section 1 is a new provision to the delete-all compared to what's been discussed previously by the conference committee. This is the first of a couple of sections related to the Metropolitan Council. This section removes the chair of the Metropolitan Council from the Group 2 salary limits, and then there's further provisions later in the bill regarding salaries and some Metropolitan Council membership and compensation changes. Section 2 is a modification to a document fee. The language is eliminated here, and there's a new fee structure that's established in a separate section with some of this other language substantially reproduced later, so we'll be returning to that in a little bit. Section 3 is the first of a series of MnDOT agency provisions on bicycle updates, establishing state bicycle routes, modifying MnDOT authority around design guidelines, and associated changes with definitions. Section 4 is a restriction on use of Clean Air Act funds coming to the state so that a legislative appropriation would be required. Section 5 relates to eminent domain with light rail and bus rapid transit lines and requiring additional costs for appraisal fees and some other costs being covered for those types of in relation to those kinds of projects. Sections 6, 7, 8 are, again, MnDOT agency provisions on bicycles, bikeways, state bicycle route system. These are some of the definitional changes. Section 9 is a requirement or establishing requirements on the appeal process for accessing the trunk highway system through driveways. This is a modification from the House language. And one of the substantive changes is that the final decision on these appeals would be made by the administrative law judge. Section 10 continues some of the MnDOT bikeway and design guideline changes, and there's a series of sections after that in that same policy realm, sections 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. That brings us to page 30, Mr. Chair. Section 19 is new to the delete all. This is from, with some modifications, largely technical, this is from the executive branch proposal. It would establish a highway sponsorship program and would allow for a kind of public-private partnership type model for businesses and private entities to support the trunk highway system through funding and volunteer work around trunk highway system beautification and maintenance type activities. And the programmatic language lays out some of the requirements on the agreements and the support activities and establishes an account in the special revenue fund for funds coming in from private sources with a statutory appropriation back out for the purposes of this program. Section 20 is a elimination of a report. There are actually three reports being eliminated as proposed in the delete all amendment. This is the first of those. The other two we'll see in the repealer at the end of the delete all. This report is on the trunk highway emergency relief account and would no longer be required of MnDOT. That information could still be obtained, or similar information could be obtained by request from the legislature. Section 21 is a MnDOT agency provision that would set a percentage rather than having a calculation for a portion of the funds in the flexible highway account. Section 22 is the first of a couple of sections on the Corridors of Commerce program, and this is a set of changes that reflect some of the language from both the House and Senate, something of a combination. And the primary substantive effect would be under Corridors of Commerce that the project eligibility requirements as well as the project selection requirements would be specified in statute, and MnDOT would be required to utilize all of those requirements and wouldn't have authority to add additional ones. So that includes language in Section 23. Section 20 modifies the Corridors of Commerce reports accordingly and requires a little bit additional details around what's reported about that program. Section 25 goes along with one of the proposed turnbacks, conforming change there. And then, Mr. Chair, members, there are a series of memorial highways and bridges. That's sections 26, 27, 28, and 29. And then section 30 is another piece of the bikeways provisions. Section 31 modifies a bid preference cutoff to eliminate the timing on that for veteran-owned small businesses and targeted group businesses. Section 32 requires MnDOT to maintain information on what local units of government have spent on the trunk highway system. Section 33, along with sections 34 and 35, are part of a MnDOT land conveyance and turnbacks initiatives. Section 36 goes along with section 37. This is on page 42. This is language that was brought into the Transportation Omnibus Conference Committee. This is in House File 4, the taxes bill, originally on the House side, establishing a surcharge of $75 for all electric vehicles. And then sections 38 and 39 establish or expand eligibility for disability plates to go to mopeds and include an expansion as well as who can obtain the plates. And then Section 40 is another piece of the moped disability plate provisions. Section 41 is the first of two special plates. The Section 41 establishes the special plate for retired law enforcement, followed by Section 42, which is a special plate for start-seeing motorcycles. There's a third special plate that had been discussed previously that's not included in the delete all. Section 43, then, is the reproduction of the motor vehicle dealer document fee language. And there is a change in the delete all that creates a phase-in of the fee amount. Current law has the fee at $75. That would increase to $100 until the end of June 2020 and from July 1, 2020, so fiscal year 2021, I should say, the maximum fee would be $125. So just to reiterate, these are maximum amounts that dealers could potentially impose. Section 44 provides authorization for deputy registrars to store records electronically. There's a corresponding change for driver's license agents a little bit later in the language. Section 45 also relates to deputy registrars and would allow for deputies to issue duplicate certificates of title. The language here reflects a delayed effective date, so this would go into effect August 1, 2018. And then, Mr. Chair and members, Section 46 would establish a provision for marking motor vehicle titles to arrange for a transfer on death. Section 47 is the first of a couple of sections here on manufactured homes and provisions and updates around affixing a manufactured home to be treated as real property. So that's Section 47, followed by, on page 55, Section 48. Section 47 deals with the affixion or the kind of conversion to be treated as real property. Section 48 is the reverse. And then on page 59, the third piece of this is Section 49, also related to manufactured homes and provisions around ownership is not as clear. And then on page 61, Section 50 is a definition that goes along with the electric vehicle surcharge provision. Section 51 is a change in pupil transportation. There are a couple of sections that come up. This one relates to the definition of Head Start bus. Section 52 establishes a 40-mile-per-hour speed limit on a stretch of trunk highway. And then Section 53 allows for crossing the center line in no passing zones to pass bicycles. Section 54 provides authority or clarifies that school buses can stop in bikeways for loading and unloading pupils. Sections 55 and 56 are another pieces, or a couple other pieces of conforming change to the disability plates for mopeds. Section 57 is a change going along with various school bus equipment modifications. Section 58 provides for school bus stops in right-hand turn lanes to load and unload students. Section 59 increases the penalty from 300 to 500 on passing school buses or violations of passing school buses. Section 60 is another piece of the Department of Public Safety initiative around pupil transportation. This is on contracting for pupil transportation. Section 61 is the start of a series of sections on school bus standards. The delete all includes a somewhat different approach from the original House position, and this would have the standards that are established by a national group be adopted by Minnesota following the adoption or the established agreement of those standards. There is a delay built in to be August 1 of the year following the year in which those standards are updated. So there would be a little bit of a lag before the updated standards would go into effect, and that update would then apply for school buses manufactured after that date. And that lag language is in Section 62, which is followed by a series of sections that update and modify various equipment requirements in conjunction with those standards, the current standards. That's Section 63 through 68. Section 69 goes along with Section 70. This is on pages 70 and 71, which would establish vehicle weight limit exemptions for police special response and emergency service vehicles. And there's a technical change in Section 69 to move some of that similar language that's current law for fire apparatus. And then Section 71 establishes a 10% weight limit increase for straight trucks that are transporting milk. There's a corresponding change or addition that's new to the delete all in a couple of sections that's also related to this provision. Section 72 is also a milk truck related provision, which would allow for milk trucks to be operated on interstate system under a special permit that exists in current law. Section 73 creates a new special permit for road construction materials transportation for 6 and 7 axle vehicles. This in the delete all is modified from previous language to be just for road construction, so highway, bridge, and associated demolition materials. And the substance of that can be seen at the top of page 73, that difference. And then Section 74 is the new piece related to milk trucks operated under the 10% weight limit, so that the current civil liability from records checks provisions would apply to that 10% increased provision. Section 75 is again related to pupil transportation as a notification requirement for to employers for Type 3 vehicle operators who lose driving privileges. Section 76 is a reallocation of some funds, a portion of the funds from motor vehicle license endorsements to go to the general fund, instead of going to the general fund, go to the motorcycle safety fund. Section 77 is the electronic storage provision. This one is for the driver's license agents. So it's similar to what was touched on earlier with deputy registrars. Section 78 is another MnDOT agency provision on the so-called Dimmler Amendment, and this would add in commercial driver learner's permit holders as those who would not be subject to the provision where some speeding violations do not appear on a driver's record, so that commercial driver learner's permit holders would have those violations appearing. Section 79 is the first of a series on outdoor advertising regulations updates proposed by MnDOT. So that's sections 79 through several pages. So I'm going to page 85. Sections 79 through 94 are the outdoor advertising, various authority changes, providing for definitions and removal and changeable electronic signage. Sections 95 and 96 change the update cycle on a couple of MnDOT plans. Section 97 establishes a active transportation program for non-motorized transportation. In the delete all amendment, there's no allocation of federal dollars, as well as there's not an account for anticipation of any GO bond proceeds. And I might note that there's not funding for this program earlier in the bill either. There are also some differences compared to previous language around project evaluation and selection requirements. It's largely just kind of language updates. Sections 98, 99, 100 make technical changes that go along with the change in section 101. And this language is revised in the delete all relates to the local bridge program and would establish a limitation on grant awards for local bridge projects having a project cost estimate above a $7 million threshold, and would provide for making grants if all of the projects that are on MnDOT's priority list that have a project total project cost estimate below $7 million have been funded. So if all those have been covered, then grants for higher cost projects would be permissible under this language. Section 102 in the delete all is a bit different from previous proposals in that it would require a 15% efficiencies of the Department of Transportation on an ongoing basis instead of just for fiscal years 2018 and 2019. And then Section 103 requires MnDOT to maintain information on its website coming from the Major Highway Projects Report. Section 104 establishes a conditional appropriation for snow and ice control. This language in the delete all includes a definition of snow and ice management purposes in paragraph D that would provide some additional clarity around what kind of purposes the appropriated dollars could be used towards. Section 105 establishes an expanded transit report to cover more transit-related information. This has modified some in definitions, data, and report timing compared to previous discussions of this provision. And then Section 106 establishes a hazardous materials rail safety program. This is what's funded previously, or this program has funded previously in the budget language. Section 107 makes a modification to commercial motor carrier regulations for pipeline welding trucks. Sections 108 and 109 relate to the MRSI program, making some updates to the MRSI, or Minnesota Rail Service Improvement Account, as well as revising some of the general grant language around that account. And then Section 110 is another piece of the transfer on death provision. And then Section 111 relates to the motor vehicle lease sales tax revenue reallocation. This includes some technical changes as well as establishing the percentages that have been discussed previously. So you can see that in the new paragraph B on page 100, the four percentages are laid out for allocation to the various funds and accounts. And I'll just note that the Minnesota State Transportation Fund is what is in conjunction with the local bridge program. So there's some language around that in the new paragraph D. Paragraph E then is ensuring allocation of the legacy-related funds going towards those constitutionally dedicated purposes. Section 112 contains the reallocation of state sales tax revenues. Paragraph D reallocates the rental tax. That's the 9.2% tax. Paragraph F is a similar reallocation of the general sales tax on motor vehicle rentals or short-term rentals. And then paragraph G contains the sales tax reallocation of auto parts. And that language lays out monthly remittances and they're it's set at a couple different levels reflecting the target that is for transportation for the upcoming biennium and the tails. And then, Mr. Chair and members, Section 113 is the first of some provisions that are new to the delete all. This relates to the county's Transit Improvement Board. At a kind of high level on this series of sections, the authorization and the authority and powers and duties around CTIB are curtailed under the delete all language. The tax that's currently authorized would be terminated starting July 1st, and various revenues under the purview of CTIB would be reallocated. Section 113 eliminates some of the definitions that would no longer be necessary under the other changes. Section 114 is a conforming change. Sections 115 and 116 are part of the elimination of some of the powers and duties and structure. Section 117 contains the substantive requirements on allocation of the funds under the purview of CTIB and establishes a priority order for those funds so that the first dollars would go towards debt service. After that, the next dollars would go towards defeasing all of the previously issued bonds, so those dollars would be set aside towards paying off the bonds when they could be paid off under the bond agreements. The third piece in the priority order is specified dollar amounts to counties, and the final piece then is for any remaining dollars percentage allocation to the counties. The way this is structured is that the grant agreements that CTIB has entered into for operating for 2017 would still be covered before these priority structure would go into place. So it's the remaining dollars after those grant agreements as well as after some of the administrative costs as budgeted by CTIB for 2017. However, any remaining capital grants would not go under the budget that had been established by CTIB and instead would follow the structure that's being laid out here. Section 118 is a limitation on any additional CTIB-related bonding. Section 119 contains the actual termination of the tax. Somewhat related to this, but in dealing with a also separate provision, is this starts on Section 120. This is the other local option transportation sales tax that's authorization statewide for counties, for those counties that are not a part of CTIB. Section 120 makes a conforming, clarifying changes. Section 121 establishes a voter approval requirement for CTIB or former CTIB counties that impose this county sales tax if the sales tax is sought to be imposed at a rate above a 0.25%, which is the current CTIB rate. I might just note that under this county statewide local option county sales tax provision, the maximum rate that can be imposed is 0.5%. Section 122 also relates to the same sales tax and creates a prohibition on counties utilizing the sales tax revenue for capital costs of guideways. Guideways, using the revised definition that's established earlier in this delete all in conjunction with the transit report. There's also a prohibition on providing using the sales tax revenue streams for operating or capital maintenance of those guideways that have not been in, are not currently in revenue operation. So for instance, Central Corridor and Hiawatha, as I like to refer to them. Section 23 is another provision on the title transfer on death. This is in conjunction with the motor vehicle sales tax. Section 24 modifies the cap on salaries for State Patrol trainees, setting a 70% floor instead of a ceiling of 70%. In conjunction with this, there is a rider that creates a two-tier structure for State Patrol trainee salaries, and that's in the State Patrol appropriation in Article 1. Section 125 is the first of a couple of sections requiring legislative authorization in conjunction with light rail transit. This is modified in the delete all so that the legislative authorization is required just for construction of light rail transit lines. The Section 125 language is a requirement against regional railroad authorities. And there's similar language for other local units of government entities and state entities. Sections 126 and 127 also relate to regional railroad authorities. Section 126 is a clarification that the current prohibitions on regional railroad authority levy funds going towards some light rail and commuter rail costs would also apply to former CECA counties as well as any counties that are currently a part of CTIB. And then Section 127 establishes that those same limitations apply for light rail or commuter rail transit project extensions as well as initial construction of lines. And then Section 128 is the legislative approval provision that was just touched on. This one is the requirement against counties and cities in the metropolitan area. Section 129 is new to the delete all and establishes that Cannon Falls would not fall within the metropolitan area and therefore would not be part of the jurisdiction of the Metropolitan Council if Cannon Falls were to grow or expand into Dakota County. That, Mr. Chair and members, brings us to Section 130, which contains a series of changes related to Metropolitan Council governance membership and the Transportation Advisory Board elimination. So within that, the membership provision on page 112 includes establishing local elected officials to serve on the Metropolitan Council Board. And then there are also some other members representing a couple of different groups added to the Met Council Board. There's some of that membership corresponds to the membership of the under current law of the Transportation Advisory Board, or TAB, which is eliminated a little bit later. This section also provides for the terms of members, appointment, and identification of who's going to serve on the board, compensation for the chair and board members, as well as voting and quorum. Section 131 goes along with this set of provisions. It's a conforming change to Section 132, which is where the TAB is eliminated. Section 133 creates a window from July 1 of this year to the end of 2017 for additional communities to become opt-out providers for transit or join with current opt-outs. Section 134 modifies the formula for allocation of a portion of motor vehicle sales tax dollars to the opt-outs, and it increases the minimum amount that must be allocated to the opt-outs. And this is the same formula that's then used for distribution of the funds among the opt-outs. Section 135 creates a limitation on use of motor vehicle sales tax revenue as backing to certificates of participation or other similar forms of debt or obligation. And then Section 136 has the legislative approval for LRT construction. This one is for the Metropolitan Council and MnDOT. Section 137 establishes a new project development requirement for LRT development to look at alternatives and do an alternatives and benefits analysis. This would apply for those light rail transit lines that aren't already formally in the engineering phase or later in the federal process. Section 138 makes a modification to the 50% state share provision on covering a portion of light rail transit costs. Section 139 also relates to the Metropolitan Council and provides for administrative law judges looking at reasonableness of metropolitan system plans. Section 40 is the beginning of uncodified language. This is a legislative report required of the Department of Revenue on the share of general sales tax revenue that can be attributed to motor vehicle repair and replacement parts. You might note that has the delayed the due date of January 2019. Section 141 goes along with the changes made related to CTIB and requires notification on imposition of the county sales tax for former CTIB counties, or not imposing the county sales tax. Section 142 is something of a merger of the House and Senate language on MnDOT project selection and would require MnDOT to develop a policy around its project selection process, looking at both its regular program as well as its specialty programs. This also has a legislative report requirement. Section 143 creates eligibility for the next round of project evaluations in the Corridors of Commerce program to explicitly include a stretch of U.S. Highway 212. Section 144 creates authorization for the Driver's License Office in New Brighton to be a full-service office. Section 145 goes along with the Deputy Registrar and Driver's License Agent's electronic storage authorization. This is for the Department of Public Safety to set up standards for that storage. Section 146 directs a rule change in conjunction with the school bus right-hand turn lane stops language established earlier in the delete all. Section 147 is a land conveyance provision on McKinstry's surplus lands. Section 148 is modified in the delete all and would require a loan conversion of a portion or all of the remaining balance on a mercy loan. Section 149 is also modified in the delete all and would establish a temporary moratorium on establishing a way station on Interstate Highway 35. The change here is to eliminate proposed as a required legislative report. Section 150 is something of a merger. It's largely the House language on a construction costs and cost inflation legislative report of MnDOT. This includes a related report in Subdivision 2 that would take a look or have MnDOT take a look at comparing estimated versus actual costs of projects. Section 151 is a vibration susceptibility study. This is in conjunction with the light rail transit line that would be required. Section 152 is another legislative report. This is an update to one first requested in 2015 on dedicated funds and the expenditures out of the transportation funds. Sections 153 and 154 would authorize a couple of legislative or route turnbacks. Section 155 goes along with the active transportation program. This is the development of project evaluation and selection process recommendations. Section 156 is a merger of a couple of proposed reports to cover both MinPass and tolling. This would be Department of Transportation reporting. And then Section 157 is also a MnDOT report, or a series of reports, I should say, on turnbacks. The first would be on turnbacks with more of a look historically, and then a annual report for 10 years on turnbacks and turnback-related information in the next few years, 10 years. Section 158 is modified in the delete all and would establish a working group looking at an intersection on Trunk Highway 55 in Wilkin County. Section 159 would create a Metro Mobility Enhancement Task Force, and the delete all has a modification to the membership, as well as having some of the members being non-voting members of the task force. And then on page 135, section 160 is a technical revisor's instruction on moving a statute. And that brings us to section 161, which is the last section, as a series of repealers that largely go along with some of the other changes proposed in the delete all. So paragraph A is related to the bikeways and bike provisions. Paragraph B is a change on a trunk highway route designation that's redundant. Paragraph C would repeal a couple of reports, and this is newly proposed in the delete all. The Stillwater Lift Bridge Endowment Account has a legislative report going along with it that would be repealed under this, as well as a report on railroad yard lighting. Paragraph D eliminates one of the equipment standards on school bus design. Paragraph E goes along with some of the CTIB authorization and authority and powers provisions. It would eliminate some of the sections or subdivisions in that CTIB authorization section. And then paragraph F is among the administrative rules repeals. The rules being repealed in paragraph F relate to the signage and outdoor advertising provisions. And then the rules being repealed in paragraph G are, again, part of the bicycle bikeway and state bicycle route language. And then finally, paragraph H repeals a session law on Metropolitan Council salary provisions. And that, Mr. Chair, is the last section in the delete all.
Well, thank you, Mr. Burris. Job well done. I don't know how Ms. Stengel got off so easy today, but we'll have to remedy that at a future meeting, I think. Members, at this point, would entertain any questions you might have. I realize it's a lot of information to digest, and I would just remind everyone that this is a delete everything amendment. We are not closing out this conference committee report process today, but this is a big step forward. Joe wants me to mention that there is a summary available. I think it's in the anteroom. You can pick those up on your way out, and I would guess some of you will be in touch with us in the coming days. I do not see any member questions at this time. Mr. Peters, Representative Petersburg, will you care to move the DE amendment as amended?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do indeed move the DE amendment as amended.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The DE amendment is adopted. I would just like to take this opportunity to thank Senator Newman for his hard work. We had, as you might imagine, a very busy weekend. Friday on was extremely busy, and I'd also especially like to thank all of our staff on both sides of the table for for really a marathon of hard work to get this bill in the shape it's in today so that we could have this meeting at this time. It's been quite a journey. Of course, this is just one more step down the road. So with that, members, we are adjourned.